In the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly order of Abijah. His wife was a descendant of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both of them were righteous before God, living blamelessly according to all the commandments and regulations of the Lord. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and both were getting on in years.
Have you ever hoped for something for so long that you didn't even notice when your hope wasted away? When what had been hope's home in your heart was taken over by some lesser something, something practical, like endurance, something ordinary, like apathy, something with no risk. Not like hope. Hope is risky. It takes courage to hope. Growing up, I didn't hope that I would be a mother. It was an assumption. Zechariah and I married with the assumption that children would soon come to us. I watched as other women had babies, and everyone watched as I didn't. And so our assumption girded its loins and became a brave little hope. We pored over scriptures, studying Sarah, Hannah, Rachel. Each of them had once been barren. They were mentors to our hope, their eventual motherhood feeding our hope. Oh, my precious hope. Even more than Sarah or Hannah or Rachel, hope was my companion, because even after I had to acknowledge that in leaving their barrenness behind, Sarah and Hannah and Rachel had left me behind too, even then, hope stayed with me. Of all the women mentioned in the Bible, surely some of them remained barren forever, but Scripture does not record how God chose not to answer their prayers, and so I don't know their final relationship with hope. Did it survive? Or did they, like me, weary of the risk, lose the courage, and without even feeling it happen, become hopeless?
What's the difference between a wish and a hope and a prayer? I wish Joseph were taller. I hope Joseph is interesting and kind, and that he has a sense of humor and some curiosity about life and some imagination about all that's possible. And I hope, really hope, that we'll love each other enough that our life together will be fun and happy and easy. That's what I hope. What I pray is that God's will be done. Ugh, I can't fake it. I can't pretend like that's kind of a lame prayer. I mean, of course God's will be done. It is, after all, God's will. Okay, maybe it's the proper thing to pray for, but I wonder if we pray those words so that we don't have to deal with what actions we would actually have to take for us to be a real part of God's will being done. I know what the rabbis would tell me to pray. The rabbis would tell me to pray for the Messiah to come, the mighty Son of David, the glorious King, who will rule in majesty. But I gotta say, some glorious king would not care one bit about my hopes. He wouldn't even know I exist. He'd sit in his palace, assuming everyone lives like that, all safe with plenty to eat, a soft bed, and, oh, I don't know. But I'd rather pray for the Messiah that Isaiah describes, the suffering servant who bears all our burdens, who sacrifices everything for us. Is that too much to pray for, to hope for?
But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. But now, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute, unable to speak until the day these things occur." After those days, Zechariah's wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she remained in seclusion. She said, "This is what the Lord has done for me when God looked favorably on me and took away the disgrace I have endured among my people." In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God, and now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word."
There is a psalm that says, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still. Notice every aspect of the gifts that come to us from God. I'm noticing how my senses are now as keen as any wild animal's. I'm noticing how the only food I have any taste for is wild honey. I'm noticing Zechariah suddenly as silent as a stone that wants to shout to God. I'm noticing his joy. We share wonder too wonderful for words. Now, I could be out and about parading my belly, startling my neighbors, but I don't need that. I just need to be still and know that God is God. What greater peace can there possibly be than to know that God is God? And so, I'm noticing the quiet joy of seclusion. Now, I did have to ask myself if I was staying in due to fear. Fear of losing this impossible possibility. Fear of going public with my risky hope. After all, anyone who knows that I'm expecting is one more person expecting something to go wrong. And if it did, that would be one more person heaping pity upon me, shaking their heads at the foolishness of resurrected hope. And so I ask myself, am I afraid? No. I'm simply at peace. A peace so deep that it casts out all fear.
Should I have told the angel no? Could I have told the angel no? Oh, why did I say yes? What a fool. Nobody is going to believe there even was an angel. I don't completely believe it myself. And now, what will become of me? I could be put to death for this, you know. They would be within the law to throw rock after rock at me. Joseph and my father and all our neighbors. They would pelt me with stones, break my bones, break my body. And for what? Because I said yes to God's will. I once imagined God's will to be peace. Peace? I may never know peace again. My best hope is in waiting for death to swallow me forever. I've always thought of myself as a daughter of Sarah and Abraham. But now I am Hagar. I will be cast out, run off. And my child? Will my child live? Oh God, most holy, help me. Please, O God of the universe, hear me. Please, could this cup not pass from me? Rescue me. Do not let me be like those who have no hope. Guide me. Do not let your face hide from me. Strengthen me. Do not desert me in my time of need. Please. O God, you are God. Do not let me hide from your will. I will go to Elizabeth. She will hide me, if that's what God needs for the safety of this child. And if there's some other way, oh God, yes, use me as the servant of your will. And use also your daughter Elizabeth, that she may help me know your will. Amen.
In those days, Mary set out with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry,
"Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how is it that this happens to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For no sooner had I heard the sound of your greeting, but the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by God."
My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me and his holy name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and his descendants forever.
And Mary remained with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned to her home. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son.
Have you ever received something you'd waited for so long that you'd forgotten to actually believe it could come? Have you waited year after year for something, for the advent of something, only to discover that it has been transforming you even as it came to you? I'm feeling that transformation. I'm noticing it in Zechariah and in that brave girl, Mary, whose baby will know my own blessed boy. And believe me when I tell you, she will bear the Messiah we have always waited for. The Messiah that Sarah and Rachel and Hannah waited for. The one who is coming, bringing hope and peace and joy and love.
No longer queasy, I feel strong enough to bear anything the world can do. No longer able to hide my belly, I'll need that strength. No longer afraid, I just get it now. I am unexpectedly expecting the Messiah who my people have longed for throughout all generations. And this is the greatest gift. Not only the baby, but also the faith to believe in something I have only hints of. I keep pondering how Elizabeth welcomed me as the mother of her Lord. She believes in something she has no proof of. Elizabeth is a prophet. Well, I'm a prophet too, I tell you. This child is proof of God's love for the whole world. And to do God's will must surely be to respond with our own love.
The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.